Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And our host, Alfonso Garcia.
Thank you very much, guys. Love it as always.
Okay. I'm not jealous anymore.
Hey, so what do we got today?
All right. So we got actually a fun one. All right. So we've actually been getting a lot of feedback. And again, if you have a comment to leave, Nate's phone is charging for all of our listeners. But we've gotten quite a bit of comments, not only on Nate charging his phone and his phone ringing during the podcast.
Sorry. Hey, but okay, I got to apologize. That was right. Bad. Last episode, it rang because I didn't have it on silent. But my son's going to camp for the first time for a five-day thing. And Emily, his mom, and I were chatting about it. And it's kind of emotional, actually. It's like, man, he's growing up. So, but anyway.
Are you going to be able to hold yourself together for the podcast?
I am. That's why when I charge my phone, listen to what it says. It makes me smile. Ready? Listen.
Right.
You are awesome. Thanks for giving me the power.
So if you ever hear that.
If you ever hear that, just know I needed affirmation. Anyway. All right. What's the question? Because we had a listener write in, right?
We did. And again, if you have a comment, any platform you're listening to, whether that be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, if you're listening to it on our new.
Where's the new one? Simplecast.
That's our new host.
Hey, so cool. And we've actually gotten so many comments and stuff, which thank you for that.
Yeah.
But write those questions in for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. And we have a really, really great, thoughtful question we've gotten recently from the username Big A.
Big A. And I just say, everybody that writes in and does a comment, I mean, I really try. If they take the time to write us a message, I try to take the time to respond.
Mike, thank you, dude, because honestly, I wouldn't. It would take months before I responded. I see your comments back, and I'm like, man, he's so good about that.
It means so much. It means so much if people take the time. And I always, try to tell people, if you got a topic you would like us to cover, let us know. And Big A was, I think, the first to do this in Spotify, at least in any time recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's a loaded question, right?
It's quite a bit, and I think we can really, really, there's a lot of meat on the bone, as they say.
And just so you know, this is our perspective. We don't know everything. We know a lot, but we don't know everything. Take what you can, throw away what you don't want.
So this is the comment we received from Big A. It is, I'd love to hear an episode about an actor's personal boundaries, especially when they come from religious or moral beliefs. How do actors navigate turning down certain scenes or roles while staying true to their values? Have you seen actors successfully build careers with those boundaries, or do those choices usually limit the opportunities they're given? How can actors balance honoring their beliefs while still pursuing the roles they dream of? What advice would you give to someone?
Yep. So we're going to have to break this down part by part.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm back in school, and I'm like, I didn't write that down. Why don't you just go with the first question, then?
So the first thing that's being asked is, how do actors navigate turning down certain scenes or roles while staying true to their values?
So I actually was in a workshop. John and I went to Tennessee to a stand-up comedian workshop.
You're the only 10 I see. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. I got the power. Thank you for the affirmation.
You're welcome, buddy.
I like that because Alfonso was in plain sight, too.
I know. I was staring right at him, and I said it to you.
It was both there.
John was blocked.
If I saw you, anyway.
We were there, and there was a speaker there, and he was, actually, he gave a really good answer to that question, but he was telling was talking to any performer, whether it be a stand-up comedian or if you're an actor or whatever, but what he said was, you got to know what those boundaries are before you set off to go be in a show or even before you go audition. It's like, you know what? You should do your research, find out what is in that show. Let the director know right off the bat. And he said, like, the day that, like, because let's say you get cast and all of a sudden you get the script, and he says the time for you to decide that you can't say a swear word on stage is not after you've already been cast and it's the day of the blocking when you're supposed to be delivering the line. That's not the, I don't think I can do this, or, whatever might go against your moral belief. after the fact is not the time to decide that you don't want to do that. It's like you've got to clearly get everything defined in your mind. What will I do? What will I not do? What is on the table? What is off the table before you make the commitment? Because that's really not fair to the director. I mean, I'm sure like, you know, everybody in the theater community would want to be fair back to you and say like, well, don't push them if they don't feel comfortable doing that. But at the same point in time, be fair to the people in the show. Don't come out and audition for something and then decide later, hey, I can't do that. It's like, you know where your moral grounds are beforehand. Nathan.
Well, I think you could never go wrong by standing by your values. If at the end of the day, you can go home going, I did what was right, then I don't think you can go wrong for that. Cause I have a short story actually, it's not that short, so bear with me. But I actually worked in part of my life. I did a lot of film stuff in my past. And I remember I got hired for this job and it had adult content, not what anyone's thinking, but it just had adult content for sure. And I remember I was on set, we're setting up, and the scene was definitely adult content. And I was sitting there, two things. What I would say always was two things. Obviously, God matters, and that's what I should have said. But what I base on is that my mom will go, Nathan Robert, and we've heard that in many episodes.
I got to interrupt real quick. I think I may have seen what you're talking about. I was watching Cinemax at 2 a.m., and I saw you.
Well, I guess we were going to talk about that. But however, moving right along.
Cinemax is still around?
I thought it was called Skinemax.
That's what I remembered as. I didn't know it was still around.
That was back a long time ago. Yeah. Whatever. Moving on. But basically, my mom's going to say Nathan Robert to this conversation. But I was working on set, and to be honest, it got very uncomfortable because whatever it was, I knew my mom, my family would be like, Nathan, what are you doing? And the long story short of it is I end up going to, the person in charge of my department, I went to them and just said, hey, I'm going to go. I can't work this. And the hardest thing for me to do that was money. I had bills due and I had no other gigs at that moment. Film kind of works. You do a job and within 3 to 6 months, hopefully you get that check from prior and you built up kind of a system. So every 6 months you're getting a check, or every 3 months you're getting back checks from gigs you worked or jobs you worked. And I remember going to him and saying, hey, I can't work it. And he's like, you have to. It was a three or five day call. I can't remember. And I was like, I can't. I tried to go back and pretend like it was cool. And I was like, I can't do this. And I remember going to him, don't worry about paying me. Like, it's fine. Today was free. And I just said, I can't do it. And I remember I went and got in my car, and then it kicked in how much money I was going to be losing. And I felt guilty for two reasons. I agreed to the job, but then I also just, I couldn't do it. And long story short, they actually ended up paying me for that day. And they actually ended up paying me for the whole shoot still. And I called them and was like, is there a problem? Was there something wrong with this? And actually, because of walking out on that job, I ended up working for Verizon and shooting all their commercials. I ended up getting another contract. It was like a 6 month long contract, working for Verizon, doing all their commercials, because the person that hired me for Verizon actually ended up walking off set as well, just saying, not in a mean way. They just decided to go because they felt not right about it. And because of that, I didn't know that in the future I was going to be getting a better gig or better job. And it kind of paid for itself. But I don't think, as long as you can at the end of the day go, hey, I did what was right by my religious or moral standards or values. I made the best decision possible in that moment. It doesn't mean that other places in life where I don't screw up or make bad decisions and not make the right call and other jobs I may have taken. But I think as long as you can go home going, whoever, if it's God or if it's your family and or yourself laying in bed can go, I made the best decision today from what I believe, then oh well.
So then should a director be allowed to say, I respect your boundary, but then you're not right for this role and we're going to have to part ways?
The answer is I do think that. In my opinion, I think as long as you're being transparent, saying what your expectations are for the role, in a show recently that we're doing, a couple people either reached out or talked to us beforehand saying, I don't feel comfortable doing a kissing scene, or I don't feel comfortable with this type of staging. How are you staging it? Just being very communicative and just saying, here's my expectation. And then giving the actor, actress the right to go, hey, that's not for me. I think just being transparent on that is the most important thing, and being upfront about it. Don't let it sit. Like Mike said, don't let it sit until it's there. And then they go, whoa, I didn't know. And that goes both ways. Putting your expectations, but also putting your boundaries and parameters out there as the performer, I think, are equally important. So then nothing's blurred or confusing.
What would you say to that, Mike?
Yeah, I agree. It's like the, hopefully, and the thing is, though, it's, you know, everything that you just said, Nathan, like, you sound very patient with them. And I've just, you know, I've talked with other directors. I know other directors that would not be as forgiving as you.
I've had some that were very mad about things I'd said. Nope, not doing that.
Yeah. And that is, that is, I mean, it's a hard one, because it's a double-edged sword either way. It's like, I've been in situations like that where, it's somebody tells you after you've cast them, it's like they've read the script, they know what's in it, and then is a little bit later like, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. You're like, what do you mean? Why didn't you tell me right away? Now I'm gonna have to, like, you put us in a bad spot here. But again, it's like, man, you don't want to be a jerk about it. But
it's awkward. I'll say, even as a director or producer, if the show, we'll just say the Broadway show, quote unquote, you can't see that, but I'm doing quotes, there's not one. But if there were, she gets woken up by a kiss, and everyone in their world knows that. And all of a sudden your actress says, or your actor says, I don't feel comfortable doing the kiss. Well, it's a little bit hard to not do that.
So it's like, I don't feel comfortable singing in this role. Can you accommodate me, please? Like, it's like, well, it's key to the story.
Okay. So then you have to be creative and blackout as they're going out for the kiss, or turn your head sideways and do a dip, but she's in the coffin. You know, you're like a glass case, not a coffin. But it's, I think just being communicative would be the best thing I would say. As the performer, here's my parameters. Here's what I won't cross. Knowing those ahead of time, what are those? And then vice versa, the director should say, if you do auditions, have an audition form. Will you do this? Will you allow this? Are you okay with that?
Go ahead.
So two questions for you. One, so when this example that you were talking about earlier, where you went and you couldn't do it, it was just against your moral beliefs and stuff. Did you know what you were doing before going in?
Like, I did. I knew the whole content. I knew the whole, I know the whole scene, the show. I knew everything about it. And I didn't do what I'm saying you should do. And that's because I didn't do it is why I'm saying it. Being communicative, and I didn't. I knew going in, but I wanted to make my thousands of dollars that I knew I was going to be making from that gig. I was like, the money will be worth it. It won't be that rough. It's film. It'll be fake, and which made it a little bit more real. You're like, ugh, it just was not. Yeah, so I did know, and I still went against my moral judgment, and then was like sitting there going convicted or conflicted, going, oh, why did I say yes to this? Then you're looking around the room going, well, this is awkward. So I did know, and I didn't do what I said.
Okay, but it was a learning experience.
It was, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, and after that, you're like, I got to communicate next time.
I'm glad I did that for that reason.
And then, so second, and this was, I think, part of Alfonso's question, but like, so you walked off that job, couldn't do it, but do you have expectations that, if you were to go back, like, to those people again, that you might have a fair shot?
No, I don't think I would. I don't think I would be hired by them because I didn't finish the job. Mm-hmm. I know as a producer, I might go, hey, I respect his values and morals, or his or her values or morals, but they left me on the job. Now, I do think, and this is not mean to anyone in the world, but I think we're all replaceable. So by losing me, I think they can get someone in there, maybe even more talented or gifted in experience. So, but as a producer or director, I do think there was a little bit of like, you let me down while the lights were up, you know, and time is money. Now, there was more people to step in and do the job, but it left a hole. But so
that was one of the things, like you hear that, like everybody's replaceable, but when somebody bails out on you, like, you know, like that, okay, maybe you're replaceable, but where's the replacement? Like they were lucky to be able to fill the spot. And if you have a replacement readily available, but it was like, man, there's not everybody can do that. So I think you also have to keep in mind, you know, when you are committing to something like, I am going to be in this play, I'm going to be in this musical, I'm going to be a part of this team with these people, and then all of a sudden you bail on them, you might not, you know, they may not be able to replace you. I mean, especially depends on how last minute you do it.
Yep.
You could have really just screwed these people over. So,
and I know I did for the moment. I know I did. Luckily, I waited till almost the end of the day, the shoot day. But I know I did, and I know it left a hole, and that's why I was like, take my money. You could have this day for free. And they still paid me, which I don't know why that happened still, but I still got paid for the entire shoot. And I called and tried to say, hey, I don't want to owe you because this is going to go to bills. And once it's gone, you're not getting it back. But I've also done the same thing as a director. I assumed, like I say, I'll use the Snow White analogy. I assume that, assuming we know what that means, but I assume that you know, coming into Snow White and you're the prince in Snow White, you're going to be doing a kiss. And I've done that in shows where I assume they know. As a director, I'm like, oh, they know. They have to know. They know the show. And then in the middle of rehearsal, you're like, all right, we're going to do the kiss there. And then a deer in headlights looks at you and goes, oh, I can't do that. My husband, my wife, my whatever, or my Jesus says I can't do that. And you're like, wait, you know, it's Snow White. Like, I assume, oh, and I've done that too. And then, so lesson learned, and I've done it even recently. Like, it's happened recently to me where I just assume that that's an unsaid duh, this character does this, you know? And then you go, oh, I should have put it on a form. I should have asked right at the callbacks, hey, are you willing? High five it, or write it on a piece of paper privately so no one has to know that you're not comfortable or you are comfortable. And then here's the other part of that. It's awkward, even say the actor and actress are adding a kiss, or it's like it's supposed to be a peck, and all of a sudden they're doing a 10-second kiss. You're like, hey, hang out after at the brewery and make out all you want. But right now we're doing the show, and that's not the characters. That's not where they're at in the relationship.
Maybe the kiss should be appropriate to what the script is saying.
And I maybe have passed Altoids back in the day when I did kisses and Skittles and had fun with my counterparts.
It was all in character, right?
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Because it's awkward, this is where I still continue need to learn and grow. I didn't have the conversation and go, hey, go do this at the bar after. This isn't, or at the restaurant, or in the park, wherever you want to go. But the characters aren't doing that. You're doing too much. And I usually get quiet and pull back, and I don't communicate that because it's a little awkward. It's already weird. It's an unsaid thing. You know what you got to do? Handle your business. But I've recently, and that's been an issue. And I think just being, again, calling myself out on the table, being more transparent and going, hey, that's not what we're doing. But I don't do that. And I need to get better at that as a director as well. And that's something I can definitely learn on.
It's just funny to hear us talk about it, you know, as producers, where we're called the upstaging gentleman, whereas if we were to be the actors, we both know we'd be on the opposite side, would be the, like, the upstaging hypocrites.
Oh, no, I'm a hypocrite. That's what I'm saying.
I pass Altoids,
Skittles. I'm guilty of that.
No, well, I mean, just like the, not on anything we recorded today, but what we recorded last time, and we were talking about, like, thank you, five, you got 5 minutes, and we're talking about, like, shut up, I'll put my costume on minute beforehand.
I know.
But we want everybody else to do it.
Do what I say, not what I do.
Yeah, but when we're, you know, when we're acting, it's like, you know, whatever. 5 minutes. Hey, we got 5 minutes. Want to go outside and play the hacky sack?
Yeah, let's get exactly. Let's go hang out in the back. 100%.
You know, sometimes, a lot of times, the boundaries, though, aren't necessarily physical. They're like, it's your beliefs. So, like, for example, can you be deeply religious and still play, like, a very highly immoral character, or maybe a character that doesn't align with the way you look at life or you believe?
Okay, so that's where it comes to, how much are you willing to separate yourself, like Michael the actor, from the character that I am playing? And, you know, you always get the analogy, you always hear people say this one, when they're like, I can't do that. It's against my relief or my belief. It's, they're like, well, you know, if you murder somebody on stage, does that actually make you a murderer? You know, that's the one, that's the argument.
The cliche
argument. Yeah, that's the cliche argument everybody always goes to. But you do have to sit there and say, I'm a storyteller. I am telling a story. And what I am doing in, you know, through this character, the character's not me. I am a part of a big story that is being told. And I'm representing this part of the story. And it's like, can you separate that? It's like you're not really doing that. You are acting it out. You are telling what happened on stage. You are part of the story that is being told. And it doesn't mean that you agree with that character. It doesn't mean that you love that character, but it means that you are being true to the story that is told.
Well, when I was playing in Man of La Mancha, I played Pedro. He's a woman beater, basically, and a lot of other things. But I remember that was actually hard. And I have two things that are two extremes. But I played that role, and I remember after the show, for bows, I'd either get booed or nothing. And which is, honestly, at first, I was like, yeah, this is cool. No, it's not. It sucks. I'm walking out there going, that was acting. I remember going up to my mom and Sally, who's a great friend of mine, kind of inspiration. She's passed away now recently. But I walked up to them and she literally is like, and I said this like a long time ago, one of our original podcasts. They're like, get away from me. She's like, you're gross. She goes, go change and then come back. And I was like, okay. I was like, lady, what? I'll show you Pedro. I'm just kidding. But I was like pretty like sad about that. I was like, I know I was kidding, John.
I'm
not being an old lady. No, Sally would kick my butt. Anyways, yeah. But I remember after I got dressed, came back, as soon as I walked outside, Nathan, darling, oh, creepy, so good. You brought like it was so. But I was like, I wasn't Pedro when I came down to you after the show. Like I was playing a character, and I'll say I played Jesus to the extremes. I remember playing Jesus at a church. They hired me to come play Jesus for them. And I did the whole like crucifix and I did the whole shebang kind of thing. And some people would come and go, oh, you're like the only Jesus I've ever seen kind of thing mentality. You know, like, oh, when I'm walking down the aisle. And that was so, as an actor, it was so honestly gross to play that role. I'm like, ugh. Like, how sad is it that I'm so vile playing this role that it actually made me feel so guilty playing that character.
It's almost as if you were wearing like a military uniform and they're saluting you. But like, I have no business being saluted.
I didn't fight that war.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not That's worthy.
Like, I'm not Jesus, guys. Yeah. I'm not, yeah.
Well, yeah. But it was so surreal that I actually felt guilty playing that role. And that's where I really had to start going, all right, you're just playing a role representing that character. But it was a switch for me that I had to actually turn off and go. So I think that is a hard thing to go. Where's your boundaries or where does your level lie?
Yeah, is it just what Alfonso just said about the soldier? That makes me think of my friend Matt, who was in the play The Hiding Place, and he was a Nazi. And, you know, he had to wear the swastika on the uniform. And afterwards, you know, and that's a very emotional show. And afterwards, there was an older man that came down and he, you know, he was very upset with Matt. And I remember he said something. Well, I didn't see it, but Matt told me, he's like, you know what? I ought to like punch you right in the face for wearing that. And Matt told him, he's like, well, you know, sir, like it is a very hard symbol for me to wear, but I am telling the story and I am representing the bad people. And we are trying to show it. And he's like, you know what? You are trying to tell the story and educate people that weren't there. I mean, that guy was angry. Yeah. You know, I think he was probably there
pulling somewhere that's real
was,
to him.
Yeah. I mean, he was there. He knows what that swastika means, but, you know, there maybe younger people that were there, it doesn't mean the same to them. They weren't fighting in the war. They just kind of know it, but you wear it and they link it. It's like, oh, that's okay. I see what it is now. I'm seeing it in the story. And Matt's like, I got to do this to properly tell the story. This is something I have to do. I do not represent the beliefs, like not me personally, that the swastika represents, but I'm going to wear it in order to properly tell the story.
Mike, to tag into what Alfonso said too, I think that as far as the morals go, I do think it is hard, but I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier. Yes, you could, I think, in my opinion, you could play certain roles, whether it be the villain, play Satan if you're religious or whatever, you could play these roles, but just truly identifying to yourself, this is where I will draw the line. Like for me, like just a sex scene or something on film, television, I won't do that. Like I won't do that. And maybe there was a time in my life, maybe I was like, yeah, let's go. But now I just, in this time in my life and where I'm at, that's a line I won't cross. Like, I just won't do that. And I think that just knowing your parameters, if you're religious, when you get up to heaven and go, God, I did this for a show, and you feel justified saying, he's like, all right, cool. Or if your mom doesn't go, Nathan, Robert, because you did something and you're okay with that, then cool. I just think drawing your line and really identifying, like Mike said way earlier, really, what is your parameters? Where do you say this is it? I'm not crossing that.
Well, have you had either of you had a situation where maybe you didn't even realize you had that boundary or that restriction until you were confronted with it? And during the audition, it's like, oh, I can absolutely walk through fire, no problem at all. And then when you're confronted with it, it's like, well, here we are. And I've really stepped in it now, literally, maybe. But like, have either of you had an instance in your career, maybe early on, where that's happened?
I don't think I have. Like, I mean, early on, probably the one that I wouldn't do. I mean, I don't want to take God's name in vain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a, won't do that. Early on, I was probably a little sheepish to swear in a show. And I'd still kind of prefer not to, but sometimes it is necessary to the story. Like it is, I think, rare for me to do that. Very rare. But, Monica, who was here last episode with us, we did Misery together. And, oh, we have a podcast about that where I was asking for your help.
Yeah.
And that has some F-bombs in it. Mm-hmm. And I had, I sit there and make the decision. It's like, this isn't something that I would do on stage, but I mean, come on, I'm telling
that
the story.
That character will do that.
And yeah, I mean, there's no way that a character in that situation, as he's getting his ankle smashed, oh, golly heck, ooh, yeah. owie, yeah. I got an ouch. Like, that's yeah. not, like,
no.
If you're going to realistically tell the story, I mean, if you're committing to it, I think 20 years ago, I wouldn't have done that. I would have gone, oh, I can't, oh, naughty. It's, but it's like, in my old age, grow in and do it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I will for this. And I don't know. I don't really consider it going against my moral belief, even though I, myself, probably wouldn't talk like that. I say probably, if I slam my hand in the car door, something's coming out.
Or if someone's crushing your ankle, you might drop the F-bomb.
Yes. But I went ahead and did it for the story. I thought it was a good story. It was a story that worth telling. I was very excited to be a part of that. But yeah, I mean, I went through that, but I don't think I don't think 20 years ago I would have done that.
The GD thing for me, God's name in vain. Even in shows, yeah. You've been in shows, Alfonso, where I cut that.
Yeah.
That can go away.
Yep.
But I also, I say this all the time to myself, my kids, the theater world, just friends. I do believe you can make it happen. There's always more than one way to say something or do something. So there's ways you can, oh, we'll make it happen, I think. But I'm with Mike on that. I probably would have dropped the F-bombs in that show. But GD, I'll probably cut those out just as a pure respect factor to what I believe. But as far as anything, I kind of am kind of down for let's go. Like, let's do it. Like, you said walk through fire. I've done that. I'm kind of like, let's go. Now it's changed as I get older. But I think now it's more about I want my kids. Obviously, my relationship with God is the most important. But I think I want my kids to be proud of what I'm doing. I want them to look and go, man, I'm proud of you, Dad. And that sometimes may mean doing something that I may be willing to do, don't do, because I don't want them to not be proud of what I'm doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of more my scale now. I want my kids to be proud of, and I want them to know I want to be proud of them for stepping up for what they believe and think is right. So.
And there's stuff I've done that, you know, I would not want my daughters to see.
And so,
or, yeah. I mean, you know, for instance, I did the Rocky Horror Show at one point. I wasn't on the stage, but I led the band and was the keyboard player in that. But, you know, we all dressed up.
Yeah, you played
so,
the game. You
yeah,
the
and parts. So it was, I was wearing a dress and smoking a cigar and playing the keyboard. And, you know, that was one of the coolest shows ever. It was the actual, you know, show that started at midnight.
Yep.
And such. And Nathan, I noticed that, like, you know, a couple seasons ago, that was a part of your season.
It was.
Like you were going to do that one. So I know you would go there too.
I did, but the truth is I pulled it. There was like, if we break it up into a pie chart, there was many reasons why it didn't happen. A big part of that pie was, I don't want my kids to see that necessarily. That was a part of that pie. There was other reasons that went into it, but I would do that show. And if I'm controlling the content to some degree, then I get to have a little bit of freedom to go, oh, we're not going to do that, but we'll do this, you know? But there's definitely...
I don't think anybody gets to control that show.
No, you don't. It's kind of.
I think because is
especially if you do the shadow casting with TV and they're singing in front of it.
Yeah. Well, or even if you just do the regular show where it's not in front of the you, like you don't have the movie in the back, you're just doing the regular show. You may think, oh, we'll do this, we'll do this, but the moment that audience walks in costumes and starts doing the shout outs, they're shake it and run. Yeah.
There's a handful of reasons, but that's definitely. That was definitely part of my, we'll just say, going back to what I talked about, the film thing I worked on, that I'm like, oh, should I really do this? Am I going to be okay with this? So that was definitely, Jiminy Cricket got flicked to the ocean on that one. He came back, thank God. But
well, part of the question too was how it would affect your career by speaking up, advocating yourself, setting those boundaries. Like, how's that going to affect your career? So like as directors, could someone saying no to something affect them in a future production of yours? Or I kind of know your answer, Nate. You've always talked about a clean slate, but I mean something like that though, where they're like, okay, firm boundary, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this, and then they're coming out again. Is that a factor for you in casting?
It would be for me.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody came out and did that and bailed, and because I'm the one left holding the bag, like, you know, they basically get to be the hero at that point. They get to come in and be like, well, I stood up for my moral beliefs. Everybody is very proud of me. And, you know, okay, great. You got to be the hero. I'm left with the, you know, I got to tell the rest of the cast, hey, I made a decision to cast somebody and they bailed on us and we're now down a person. And I really do take that very seriously. When people bail out on us, I don't. I mean, there's a lot that I can take, but people that bail out, people that don't do what they say they're going to do, people that, you know, commit to a role like that and then don't finish it and then immediately come back and, whoa, can I be in another one? What do you mean, can you be in another one? Like, you just, did we just forget what happened? And yeah, but I thought you understood. I do understand, but I also understand I'm not casting you again.
I think I agree with that to some degree. As long as if we were communicative and we both agreed and they then later pulled out, I'd be like, huh. But I think I would just put them in a category of here's where they would perform. Here's where they like, we'll just say their types of roles. So here's where you'll end up. But if you do me dirty, like Mike's saying, and you're like, yeah, I got you. A week before open, like, you know, I don't really want to. It's Snow White, bro. You got to do it. Like, let's come on. But I don't think on the other level, though, by not taking roles that go against your morals and values, I think there's many avenues in film, stage, all kinds of avenues. There's a lot of gigs out there that don't have to be moral breakers, if you will. There's a lot of opportunities. So go do those things and avoid things that you don't like.
So what do you tell a young actor then that says, I'm scared of auditioning because if I have bring forward a, you know, an concern that I have, they're not going to cast me anymore. It's a young actor. What would you say to them?
Well, bring forth the concern at the time of auditions.
Yeah, just say, and I'm not willing to do this. Okay, cool. I'll high five you. Good. I love that you won't do that. We're not doing that anyway. Like, you know, like, just be transparent. Like I said from the beginning, both of us.
I mean, I usually will ask the question to my actors I bring in. Like, you know, you've heard me say in other podcasts, I've got a vetting process, but one of them is, what are your stage limits? Like, just tell me, because I mean, I ask that question, whether we're doing a show that has got questionable material or not, because I keep that info and then I keep them in mind for several parts. And if a part comes up like, oh, this would be good for them. Oh, wait, no, they won't do that one. Okay. I'll keep them in mind for another part. But I just always ask him and have that info there so that, yeah, like we said, we've communicated and I know what's on the table and I know what's not on the table. Now, if they have given me that list of their stage limits and something comes up, they commit to a part and some, you know, they all of a sudden decide they want to add something to it. I'm like, wait a minute, that wasn't on the list you gave me. So that's why I just think it's really important. You know, yeah, let the directors know, this is what I will do, this is what I won't do, but cast me on what I will do, I will be all in. I know I'm somewhat limiting myself, but if you need a person that, you know, fits these parameters, I will take it, I will do the best job possible, yes.
I think it's the same thing as when you go to apply for a job and say, I can't work Saturdays. The employer can go, cool, I'll work every other day but Saturdays. Cool. Or they go, I'm only working Saturdays, Sundays, it's not the right job for you. There's other companies that will, I'm sure, hire you to work every day but Saturday. You know, like, that's okay. But I don't think anyone should ever be afraid to give their morals or values or their parameters. Say it up front. Be proud of that. But Mike said this in the beginning. Identify those to yourself so you know those, so you're not going in there going, I'll try. Nah, you're not going to try. Will you do it? Yes or no? Because that's not fair to the cast. Just having those parameters, I think, is the key thing. Knowing your limits.
Is there ever a role or some situation that would be big enough to where you're just like in the biggest stage possible, the biggest role possible? Oh, I'm going to cross some of these boundaries. I wouldn't have done it before, but this is my dream. I'm going to do this for 2 weeks. I'm going to drop a GD, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do stuff that I wouldn't normally do because this is the biggest opportunity of my life. Does that change it? You're getting paid and this is a very high level thing.
I don't know. I'll answer. Know about the GD.
No,
I won't. I mean, that's a hard one for me. I mean, I already, you know, with the F bombs and misery, that was probably it for me. But
streaking through the quad, yeah, let's go. Like, whoa, yes. But
hey, we should do that when we're done here.
Okay,
just through the neighborhood.
Everyone's doing it.
The quad. Yeah.
Our next podcast will be behind bars. But no, well,
we've implicated ourselves.
I think there would be, there
incarcerated gentlemen, yes.
Hypocritical, incarcerated.
Oh, our haters are loving it.
Yeah. I like that. But I could say there's a limit. I don't, whether it be a blockbuster hit, there's some things I just would not do to make it or to get paid. I can't give you a list of those things, but there's things I know that I would go, nope, no thanks. And I would cry about it probably for a good year. Yeah. But back in the day, I could have been a star. Yeah. Oh, well, it's okay. At the end of the day, all you have is your relationships with people, God, your morals and values. Stuff comes and goes. Absolutely. That blockbuster in a couple of years won't be a blockbuster anymore. And you still have to live with yourself going, man, I crossed that line for a check.
I don't think you can call it a boundary if you're willing to abandon it. For a big role, that's not a boundary. It's, you know, that's why I asked you that. I was curious. I wasn't trying to trap you guys.
But. No, but now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, what wouldn't I do for a big?
My follow up would have been like, well, guys, but you guys answered correctly.
What about you, Alfonso?
What is that?
Is there something that you would not cross to get that shot?
What are your stage limits?
Gosh,
I don't have any.
I haven't been presented with something that I wouldn't do. Just because my mentality is like I'm portraying this character, whether he's a bigot, he's a hero, whatever that is, I'm portraying that character. And there are some bigots out there that might, you know, or they don't have a relationship with God. They're going to drop a GD. And it's like, well, I'm going to portray that character, and then there's going to be a protagonist that corrects him. Or, you know, just in when we did Godspell, and I was playing Judas, and Judas uses, like, the Lord's name in vain, and, like, Jesus corrects him, like, hey, don't use my name in vain, brother. And it's kind of like a moment right there. It's like, if you drop it, like, usually the story's going to resolve itself. So sometimes it's like, I feel like if I'm going to tell true stories about humanity, I have to be able to put myself in the shoes of, like, a bigot or a racist or whatever it is, you know? So
the sky's a limit for you. You don't feel like...
Depending on the story, I haven't been presented something that, like, I don't think I wouldn't do yet. But I think also if I see something where it's like, well, that doesn't seem comfortable, I won't even go into the audition room. I kind of have an idea.
You're like, you're not going to go for a role that you wouldn't cross that boundary. You're not going to go, I'm going for that role. Well, I wouldn't play that role.
Like, I don't like bad musicals. I would never do Cats, right? So, like, I'm offended by Cats.
I love that you keep saying that. Because I'm going to stage Cats now, Alfonso. I have your leotard right here in the drawer.
He's holding up a leotard right now, and it's exactly my size, but I'm telling you, I'm not putting it on.
He'll be wearing it. If we do Cats, I'm going to bring a podcast. Even if we're done with our podcast, we're going back for a tribute episode.
I guess that's my one boundary, is Cats. No, other than that, anything else anything else is open season, right. Really.
So we're getting the wrap-up sign from John. So, Big A, I hope we were able to answer the question for you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so, and again... Thank you, Big A, for sending us that question. I think Big A was listening at like 4 a.m. They put on the Spotify comment.
I want to say these are obviously our perspectives. Like, it's take it or leave it. Throw it away if you don't want it. But, again, it's just our perspectives and experience, guys.
And we'd love to debate opinions, too. If you have a different opinion, you can challenge us on that.
Oh, yeah.
We'd love to discuss it.
Let's discuss. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
And, again, just like Big A wrote in with this question, if anybody else has topics they would like us to cover, we would love to do that. So
if they're Big A, what did that make me?
I don't know, but I like it. Big A.
I think it says Ali, but that's the name of the bottom of the show.
Big A was so big. Like, that was so
cool. I know. Big A, and that's his screen name. So anyway, thanks, Big A.
Reminds me of like Italian. It's a Big A.
It's a Big A. Big A. It's a pizza. All right. Michael eats pasta bad.
It's a good
one. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
All right. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening to the Upstage and Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food.
Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And this is Alfonso.
Later.
Later.